Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, brought to you by Haney University, where you can go and register for my free instructional videos that are getting ready to start up and will go out on a 3 times a week basis. You can also find out about my golf lessons that are getting ready to start off. If you are interested in a personal golf lesson or a golf school, you'll find out all the information there at HaneyUniversity.com. And you can find some great golf deals on there as well for some great products, training aids, teaching aids, and other great golf products. HaneyUniversity.com. But make sure you go and register, get my free instructional videos if you want to play better golf. All right, today I am going to get into the PGA Tour adding a restriction on these greens reading books that is going to be effective January 1st. Now, first things first. For years and years and years, forever, the PGA Tour has had yardage books. And there are one or more people that have designed yardage books on the PGA Tour. They used to be these little books, they're paper books. And when a golf pro or a touring pro shows up at the tournament, he would purchase one of these books. I remember back in the day, when I started teaching on tour back in the early 80s, when I started helping Mark O'Meara, and I'd go to tournaments with Mark, and, he would register. First off, when players register at a PGA Tour event, they pay a fee to play in the tournament. I don't know where that money goes. I guess it goes into their retirement account fund or whatever. I don't know. It's not a huge fee. Back in the day, it was like $150 or $250 per tournament. They go to the tournament, they sign up, and they get their information on the tournament, maybe phone numbers to call, and whatever little information you'd get at a tournament. And they would also have somebody there selling these yardage books, which yardage books are still used today. But these would be these little yardage books. And at every single tournament, players would buy them. And one of the caddies this was his business. And he went around, and before the tournament came to town, he would go there and he would mark off the whole golf course. They do it with a wheel back in the day. And they would have all the yardages from, the tee boxes, the back of the tee to the front of the sand trap, or the back of the tee to the or carry over the sand trap, the back of the tee to the water. The back of the tee over the water. I mean, and then from every single sprinkler head, anywhere near the fairway, there would be a yardage, and they would have the yardage to the front of the green. And then there would be a design on the green. They'd draw a little design of the green, roughly shaped green, just kind of with the contour and the bunkers, and it would show all these different yardages to carry the bunker and to, carry the ridge, and they'd have little lines and that would indicate the ridge and the green. And you could figure out exactly, how far you were from anywhere on the golf course. The yardages were always to the front of the green. And in their yardage books, the players would make notes. They would go out there and they would play the practice round. And what happened back in the day, for whatever reason, it seemed like a waste of time to me because all these yardages were good anyways. I mean, they're all done by a professional caddy with a wheel, and they were, as accurate as you're going to get. The caddies would go out and they would check all in a practice round. They would check all of the yardages. They would literally check every single yardage to make sure that it was correct. Now, the yardages were redone every single year, because what happens on golf courses is is things could change. I mean, there could have been a redesign of the golf course. That would be a drastic change. But there are other little changes that happen over time where when they mow the tee and they change the mowing pattern of the tee, or they gradually, you know, every day miss a quarter of an inch or a half an inch on the back of the tee, and before you know it, the back of the tee has grown in a yard or a half a yard or whatever it might be. I mean, there's always the old story on the you know, that you'd hear on the tour one of the caddies you know, said something. You got like 149, 150 or something, and they players, well, is it, which one is it, 149 or 150? You know, when there's no guessing yardages. They want to know exactly however it is. So they would check, the caddies would always check all of these yardages. So that served two purposes. It would double check the yardage that was in the yardage book, which I never thought that any of them were ever off. If a caddy found a yardage off by a yard or two, my thought was he'd miscounted when he was pacing it off, or his steps weren't exactly right, because most likely the wheel was correct. But they would also get familiarized with where the sprinkler heads were, so they could find the sprinkler heads when they went out there on the, you know, the round of golf. But it is a big thing. I mean, they would pace off literally all of the sprinkler heads, and they'd you know, check the yards. That was the caddy's responsibility. What would happen with the players is they would go on the greens and they would putt whenever they, in the practice rounds, they would go on the greens and they would putt to all the places that they thought the pins could be. There's four pins, obviously, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday pins. In the practice rounds, they usually put the pin in the middle of the green. The pin's never going to be in the middle of the green at a PGA Tour event. Matter of fact, you know, nowadays, the pins are three steps from the edge on most of the pin placements, on the right edge, left edge, back of the green, right, left, whatever. Back in the day, the pin was like 6, 7, 8 from the edge, so it was much different. The pin placements are much harder today than they used to be, and makes it more difficult to be aggressive without paying a price of missing on the short side. In other words, pins back left and you miss it left. Now all of a sudden you're left with a pitch shot or a chip shot with not much green to work with. So the pros would go on the greens and they would putt to these different pins. And if they saw a putt that they looked at and they said, okay, you know, I'm going to putt from the middle of the green to the back left, and it looks like this putt's going to go a little bit to the left. And if the putt went a little bit to the left, they would just not do anything. They wouldn't put a note in their book. But if they looked at the putt and their first glance was, this putt looks like it's going to go a little bit to the left, then they hit the putt on a practice putt and the putt broke a lot to the left, they might put a note in there, and the note would be denoted by arrows, and it would, you know, say this, you know, telling themselves that this breaks more than you think. And they would, you know, refer to those books, you know, always for the yardages, not as much on the greens. But they would look at it just in case, you know, they might remember, hey, you know, in the practice round I had this putt. And, oh, yeah, there's my note in my book. And it, sure enough, it breaks from here to there. It breaks more than it looks. So I'm going to play a little bit of extra break. Okay, that's the whole yardage book deal and where it came from. Now, the more meticulous players were with their preparation, the more notes they would have in their book and the more lines they would have on the greens. And some players were more into this than others. I mean, Phil Mickelson, for one, would spend a lot of time, especially at major championships, he would spend a ton of time on the greens. Oftentimes, he'd go to a practice round and just walk out there with his wedge and with his putter, and he would just practice around the greens, trying to better acquaint himself with the greens, and he would take meticulous notes on the greens and which way the putts were breaking. That's how the yardage book deal used to be. The players would get new ones every year, even though they take notes in the yardage book. And a lot of times the players would, well, pretty much all the time, they would keep the yardage books from year to year. And let's say they were going to play at, you know, wherever. They're going to play at Muirfield Village, Jack Nicklaus's tournament, the Memorial. They might, before they go, or, you know, on the flight or whatever, they look at the yardage book from last year to reacquaint themselves with some of their notes that they'd taken. And then when they got out there for the first practice round, they would maybe look at their yardage book from last year, and they'd have it with them, and they'd have the yardage book from this year, and they'd say, okay, have there been any changes? And if there, or they'd maybe do that, you know, the night before the first practice round, when they go into in their hotel room, they just look, okay, let me compare my two yardage books, one from last year, one from this year, see if there's any changes on the course, or do all the numbers look the same? And then they would, you know, check their notes when they went out there to play the first time. So they had notes in their book, but they're all research that they did. And the more a player prepared, the more notes he would have. It was really, you know, what you put into it is what you kind of get out of it. For some players, that was pretty easy to do. For other players, it was harder to do. I mean, I always felt like that was hard for Tiger to do. I mean, he would show up at major tournaments and he'd say, okay, I'm gonna chart out all the greens today. We get there, you know, on a Monday for a practice, and say, I'm gonna chart all the greens today. And I would say that, I mean, I was with them for 6 years, so 24 majors, and in 24 majors, every single time at 24 majors, he said he was gonna chart off all the greens. Maybe he missed a couple majors because of his knee injury, but okay, 22 majors. But of all those majors that I was with him, and every single time he said, I'm going to chart off every green today. In 22 times, not one time did he do all 18 holes the first day. He would say it every time we get to the first tee, I'm going to chart all the greens today. I'm going to get this out of the way, you know, because it was a pain in the neck to do. He didn't like doing it. I'm going to chart all the greens today. And then we'd get done with nine holes, and every single time he'd go, you know what, I'm gonna do the back nine tomorrow. And he'd say the same 22 times in a row. He said the same thing. I'm gonna chart all the greens, and then 22 times in a row, you get done with the first nine holes, and say, I'll do the back nine tomorrow. Every single time it would happen. So it's hard. It was hard to do. I mean, it just took a lot of time. He wanted to concentrate on his play. He wanted to concentrate on his swing. He wanted to concentrate on, you know, his short game. He didn't want to just chart off all the greens. Other players would prepare more. I mean, Tiger didn't prepare as much in practice rounds. He felt like it was more beneficial for him to get rest and be ready to go, because he always practiced really hard the week before a major, and he felt like it's more beneficial for him to be rested than to prepare. Mickelson was much different. Mickelson was a huge preparer at the golf course. Okay, so that brings us to the yardage books that are used now, and what has happened with these greens reading books. Okay, this has became a thing that happened just a couple years ago, and I'm going to get into that next. But they are going to be a thing of the past starting on January 1st, and I would say that is probably a very good thing, because I can't think of anybody that thinks that the greens reading books are a great idea. Now, maybe some of the pros do; they like it. But reading a green is an art. It doesn't have to be an art, though. It can be a put in effort and prepare. But anyway, they are going away. So I'm going to get into that when we come back. Remind you, though, first to get your free Voodoo Pain Relief Cream at voodoopainrelief.com. You can get a free 2-week supply. If you haven't tried it and you've got arthritis, I'm telling you, this product will absolutely do wonders for you. And I still have people all the time sending me emails and people who've tried the product, tested it. They all end up ordering more. That's why I give away a free 2-week supply, because you're gonna try it, you're gonna love the results, and you're gonna order some more. So you can get your first 2 weeks for free. Just go to voodoopainrelief.com and check that out. All right, we'll be right back. So what happened a couple years ago is somebody decided they're going to make it a business to not only sell yardage books, but let's sell greens reading books. And they went out and they read all the greens. And a lot of this is born out of the fact that when you read a green in the break of the putt, there's obviously slope on the green. Remember, there's no such thing as a flat putt on a green. Just let's start with that. There can be straight putts, but if you have a straight putt, you're either putting uphill straight or downhill straight because there are no flat spots on greens. Technically, if you're on a flat spot in a green, you're probably on a dead spot in a green because the green won't drain. Now, greens drain a couple different ways. They drain down because there's a sandy base that's built on a green, and even if the green doesn't have good sand underneath it, it's aerified every year, and when they aerify, they put sand in there, so there's still some mixture sand. So the green percolates. When water goes on the green, it drains from top to bottom. It drains down into the bottom section. Then there's drains at the bottom of the green. But a green also has slope so that you can surface drain the water out, because even if a green has great percolation and it gets the water out of there, you still have to get the water off the top of the green so that it becomes playable faster, and so that if you have a big rain, it'll run off the green. So every green has slope to it. And that's the key to reading a green. I always tell people, you want to read the break of a green. Imagine a big bucket of water, dump a big bucket of water on the green and see where all the water goes. And that's which way your putt's going to go. So it's just, and it's going to drain. Now, usually a green's drain from the back to the front. Sometimes they drain from the middle to the back, though, but most of the time it's from the back to the front. But they also drain off the sides. Usually a green will drain three or four places. And if you walk up on a green or you walk up to a green, you can look and see, okay, where's all the water go? Where are they draining this green? And you'll see a low area off to the left or right of the green or both, and that's where the water's going, or off the back of the green, that's where the water's going. So that's how you read a green. And there's a certain amount of slope on the green. If a green is at tour speed, that means that it's rolling at least 11 on a step meter. And a step meter is this little tool that the USGA has to measure the speed of greens. And it's essentially a 3 foot long track. And you put a ball on the end of the step meter, and it's in a little ridge, and you raise the step meter up. Okay. And you slowly raise it up. And when it gets to a certain point, gravity lets the ball roll off the step meter, okay? And then the ball rolls. And you see how far the ball rolls, and you measure it. And then you do the same thing going the other way. And if your ball rolls 11 and a half feet in one direction, and you measure it back in the other direction, it rolls 10 and a half feet, then it's you got 10 and a half feet one way, 11 and a half feet the other way, so you have a 22-foot total, and you divide by two, so your step meter reading is 11. That's how when you hear them talk on the TV or radio or whatever, and they say these greens are stepping out at 11, that's what that means. If it's a 12, then the ball rolled 12 feet off that step meter. If it's a 13, it rolled 13 feet on average when they go both directions. And usually at every golf course they do that. The only one that doesn't do that is Augusta, because Augusta is so sloped, the greens are so sloped at Augusta National, that you can't use a step meter, because if you roll the ball, the greens are so fast and so sloped, you roll the ball one way, it might roll 50 feet off a step meter, and then you roll the other way, and it might roll, 10 feet, and you don't add the two up and say the step meter reading is 30, because that gives you an unrealistic, view of the speed of the greens, because it's only that fast because of the slope. That's the thing. I mean, you can only cut the grass so low. It's the slope of the green. And on a tour speed green, which is about 11, faster at majors, 12 or 13, Augusta, U.S. Open, whatever, it's faster. Slower at the Open Championship over in England, Scotland, Europe, it's slower. The reason for that is because when they play over there, it could be very, very windy. Wind could blow 40, 50, 60 miles an hour. If you got greens that are rolling at 12 and they got the wind blowing 40 miles an hour, the ball won't stay on the green, so you have to stop play. So the greens are always going to roll slower over in Europe. So they have that the slope to them. All greens have a slope to them. Generally speaking, tour speed greens at 11, a ball will not stay on a green that has a 3% slope. So it's going to be 1, 2, or 3% slope max, okay, where the pin's going to be. Now, there's other spots on the green that are more than 3% slope, but you can't put a pin there. So if they're putting a pin someplace, usually they're going to put it in an area where the slope is a 1% or 2% slope at the most, but generally 1% slope. So it's fairly flat area. Now, that could be 2% slope around it, 3% slope around it, but it's not going to be sitting on a 3% slope because the ball won't stop there. All right, so just remember that every putt on every green, there's slope to it. You're uphill, downhill, or sidehill, or a combination of more than one of those two things. But you are never on a flat area in the green. So the players have to notice how to read the greens. And most people read with their eyes, but the best players read with their feet. They can feel the slope, which is the whole system for this aim point, where you see the players holding up their fingers and they hold up their one or two fingers or three fingers, and that tells them where to play the break. And how they come up with one finger, two finger, or three finger is they've got a feeling in their feet that this is, and they've practiced this with an electronic level. They've practiced this on different putting greens, and they've zeroed in their feel on their with the bottom of their feet. They've practiced it enough so they know I am standing on a 2% slope. And then they hold up two fingers and they close one eye and they put one finger on the edge of the cup, and it tells them where to play the break, where to aim. If you hit the putt at the right speed, which is 12 inches by the cup or 16 inches by the cup, you hit it the right speed, aim it, two fingers over. Sometimes you'll see the players like kind of overlapping one of their fingers. And what the reason they would do that is because they're standing on that green and they're so good at reading the slope of the green that they say, you know what? This isn't a one. This isn't a two. This is a 1.5. This is a 1.5-degree slope, so they'll hold up two fingers and they'll overlap the two fingers. That's a system called aim point, which is a great system for reading greens. And I honestly feel like any touring pro that doesn't use that is because they're too lazy, because it's a great system. Even if it's just a double check on what you're doing, it's a great system. But it takes practice. You have to learn how to learn the system, which doesn't take that much longer. Time, you just go take this little class and it takes you about an hour or two and you got this thing figured out. But then you got to learn how to read the slope with your feet, which pros are going to be better at that anyways. But you just practice on all different greens and just take your electronic level out there and say, okay, this is the 2% slope. And you stand over there and you say, okay, this is what 2% feels like. Then you go stand in another spot that's a 1% slope. Said, okay, this is what 1% feels like. And you just see if you can distinguish between 1% and 2%. And then sometimes you'll get this great feel and you say, you know what, this is a 1.5, this is a 2.5, this is a 3.5. And when you get really good at doing that, then you really have the tools to do aim point. Well, after that system was developed, next thing you know, somebody decided, you know what, I'm gonna do all that work for them, because it's still a little bit of a guess. Guys could think this is a 1% slope, and they could swear it's a 1% slope. It felt like a 1% slope, turned out to be a 2% slope. Well, in these greens reading books that they had, up until this next year when they're going to have these books. And you see all the players pulling them out, slows play down, takes the skill out of the game, slows play down. Nothing's good about it. It's a bad look. It takes time. It's part of the skill of the game, reading the greens, or your caddy reading the greens. Anyway, not good. It's just, why they ever allowed it in the first place? And by the way, the USGA and R&A haven't done anything about these things, which they're the ones that are supposed to be the rules makers. The PGA Tour is coming up with their own local rule, and they're saying, you know what? On the PGA Tour, you're not allowed to use these greens reading books anymore. So who knows what's going to happen? I mean, are you still going to be able to use greens reading books at the US Open or at the Open Championship? And, of course, what's Augusta going to do? Because they go by their own rules. But on PGA Tour events, they're not going to let you use these green reading books anymore. And it's the tour players that have kind of gotten together, their tour advisory council, and they have said, hey, let's get rid of these things. It slows up play, it's a bad look, it takes the skill out of the game. And, we're going to get rid of them. I think the players that use them, I don't think any of the players that like use them are going to be like, oh man, now I can't play. I don't think they care, but players said, well, you know, why should I guess? Why don't I just pull out my book? Instead of guessing where this is a Tucson, they look at their book, and their book has all these lines in it. Okay, the way the USDA decided they're going to fix this last year, a couple of years ago, is they were going to say your book can only be so big. So basically what they were doing was just penalizing people who need reading glasses. They're such a group of idiots. I mean, it's unbelievable. USGA. I mean, the stuff they come up with. You know, I mean, we're going to let you use your green screen books, but they can't. They can only be this big. The print can only be this big. How does that make any sense to anybody? I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's just like, you know, if you want to use the green screen books, you got to get out your readers. Or if you don't need readers, then, you know, you got an advantage. I mean, it's just stupid. But the PGA Tour said, you know what, we're getting rid of this. We're going to get rid of these things. We're not going to watch all these guys pull them out of their pockets. You're going to learn how to read greens, or you're going to prepare before the tournament starts. So now what they're going to let them do is they're going to let them go back to what they were doing, which is you can make as many notes as you want on the books that you have, the traditional yardage books, like, you know, I talked about earlier. You can put as many notes on there as you want. And it can be handwritten information, but it's got to be based on your preparation. Okay, so if you go and you buy a greens reading book, or you have an old greens reading book, and you copy what's on that greens reading book onto your yardage book, then that's going to be a violation. You're not allowed to do that. But if you just have, you know, handwritten notes, you know, indicating the line of play, that'll be okay as long as they're made by the player, caddy, you know, from experiences or any observations of the ball rolling on the green, which is, you know, like, you know, notes that you have from previous years or, you know, previous rounds or practice rounds. Okay, you just make a little note. This broke more than I thought. That's fine. But if you've got somebody that's got like ones and twos and whatever written all across their book, although what about people who have the aim point and, you know, they're good at that and they go in the practice round and they just walk around the green and they say, okay, you know, right over here is a one, over here's a two, and they put a one and a two, and then over here's a three, and this is a 3% slope, and they put a one and a two and a three, and then they put a two over here, and a one over here, and a three over here. And what's to prevent them from going into their greens reading book at that night? You know, they do this on a Monday night, or, you know, they go in their hotel room, and they pull out their book from last year and they their greens reading book, and they check their numbers and they see you know what, I put a one over here and a one over here and a two over here, but you know what, I'm looking at my greens reading book, the greens book from last year, and you know what, this isn't a two, that's a one. Okay, you know what, let me change that two to a one. Okay, now it's still your handwritten note, but technically, that would be considered cheating, I think, because your information isn't just derived from you experiencing it or doing it yourself or preparing yourself. You've gotten it out of the book. So there's the thing, you know, there's going to be ways to cheat this. Of course, I guess there's always ways to cheat if you wanted to cheat. But pulling the book out and scouring the book and looking at the book is going to be a thing of the past. Now, will they still, you know, it'll be interesting to see which players have the most amount of notes in their book. I don't know why, if somebody liked to read the greens this way, you know, what they would do is they would learn the aim point system, and then in the practice rounds they would make their own notes. They would just, you know, like I said, put the one over here and the two over here, just like, because that's what these books are. They told you exact slope, you know, 1%, 2%, and then, you know, the 1% would change to 2%, and you knew that, you know, it's, you're looking at a picture, but you'd look at it, or a drawing, and you'd look at it and you'd say, okay, right about here it changes from 1% to 2%, and you'd make your best guess as to where am I relative to where the pin is. You look at the shape of the pitcher and you look at it and you say, yeah, I'm right here. I'm right about on the edge. This is right where it changes from 1% to 2%. And that's the way that they've done it. So somebody that uses aim point now could still do all the lines and all the numbers in there, and they could draw them in there from their practice rounds, and they could have all these numbers, and then, you know, they could double check it, back in the hotel at night and just say, hey, am I way off someplace? And if they weren't, then, you know, they would just keep it like it was. And if they were, maybe they make a little change somewhere. Maybe they do. And maybe nobody knows except them that they did something they shouldn't do. But now they got to have a new book. So the yardage books that they use are going to have to be like an approved yardage book. They're one of the caddies, longtime caddy, Mark Long, he does these books now on the PGA Tour. And before it was a guy named Gorgeous George. He used to do the books on the PGA Tour. But now it's Mark Long, does all the books. He is a great caddy, and he that's his business, doing these books. But it's going to say committee-approved book, and it's going to be, you know, a book from – you know, the next year, you're not gonna be able to use the old books, and that's the whole deal. Anyway, I think it's a good change. I think it's good to do it. The interesting part is the tour's doing it. They're coming up with their own rules. Of course, you know, I thought they didn't want to. I thought there was a big problem about bifurcating. I thought nobody wanted to have two sets of rules. You know, like with the ball and with the this and with the that. We don't want to have two, but this is two sets of rules because they're putting in a local rule in, so they're playing by different rules than the USGA. So, you know, all these people that love to say, well, you know, the great thing about golf is that, you know, it's played by the same set of rules, but now they're not playing by the same set of rules because anybody could use screens reading books, although people don't really use them because it's pretty hard to use. They're not really that. It's not that easy. It takes a lot of time, especially if you're an amateur and you don't know what the heck you're looking at. But the pros, most of them use them, even the ones that didn't like them, even the ones that didn't like the yardage books or these greens reading books used them because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you use something that you could get a little bit of advantage for? They're gone. They're a thing of the past. Starting January 1st, be interesting to watch, but it'll probably be a kind of a no story. And one thing that would be interesting is if you analyze, and I'm sure you're going to analyze certain players' putting statistics, and you're going to say, "Wow, this guy's putting worse this year without the greens reading books." Who knows? Maybe somebody will putt better without the green. Maybe somebody, you know, because there's plenty of players that go up and down in putting year to year. It's going to be hard to draw any conclusions. But I wonder if you took the whole tour, you know, everybody on the tour, I wonder if you could draw a conclusion that more putts were made this year with the, you know, yardage books, with the greens reading books, than were made, you know, next year without the That'll be an interesting story to follow. Anyway, hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. This little tidbit on the greens reading and the greens reading books. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get the Hank Haney podcast. Make sure you go to HaneyUniversity.com to check out all the information on my upcoming availability for golf lessons and lesson packages and golf schools, all the above that I'll be giving out in the Phoenix area, Paradise Valley, at my new studio out here. And get your free Voodoo Pain Relief Cream by going to VoodooPainRelief.com. So HaneyUniversity.com and VoodooPainRelief.com are your two places to go. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you later on the Hank Haney Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.